Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Of your Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, it's Baseball Central for Wednesday, May 20th.
Who are you?
Aaron Sanchez is the new Blue Jays Ace Edition. I'm Jeff Blair. That's Kevin Barker to my left. Which doesn't matter to you because we're on the radio. We will be on TV sometime in July.
You're in such a good mood today. What's up?
Hello, Bundesliga is on the TV set.
That's all it takes, huh?
Yeah.
A hockey or a soccer game that was played two days ago.
I can do this while I watch awesome. German soccer highlights.
All right. I guess.
Oh, and also, of course, there is Sportsnet Central on Sportsnet right now. That's true. Your Toronto Blue Jays. Kevin Barker. You're Toronto Blue Jays.
Why is it always mine when they lose and yours when they win?
It's funny how that works out. 3-2 losers to the L.A. Angels of Anaheim last night. Aaron Sanchez, 6 hits, 3 runs, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts, 7 1/3 innings. Josh Donaldson, a solo homer. And as so often happens in baseball, Kevin, Josh Donaldson hits a home run, plays a real good game defensively. I mean, Josh Donaldson's going to Josh Donaldson, right? And the talking point, though, will be a play in the eighth inning where he gets a squibber off the bat of Calhoun. I mean, just I don't know what you describe it.
Couldn't have rolled it any better, ball.
Couldn't have rolled it any better.
There you go.
Josh Donaldson gets the ball, sees Eric Ibar break into third base. Josh Donaldson's got two thoughts. One, I throw the ball to first base. Get the out, or two, the game's close. I get the out at third. I keep the double play in order. He tries to get the out at third. Good slide. Now, let's give credit where credit's due. It was a good athletic slide by Eric Ibar. He's safe, and of course, a sacrifice fly. Run comes in. Angels win 3-2. We're going to talk about a lot of things today, but I want to address that play in particular because I talked to Buck Martinez in the last hour about this on my show, and I said, Kevin, I've got to think that that's a play. Those of us who've never played the game at the high level are probably going, man, why didn't you take the sure out at first base? But I'm willing to bet the guys who played the game looked at what Josh Donaldson said or did and said, yeah, that's probably what I would have done too.
Well, I mean, obviously he catches the ball. He looks left, runner's right there. It would be an easier play to tag him. Ibar made a really good running play by, you know, avoiding the tag. And personally, I would have liked to have seen him throw it to first base, get the easy out, the sure out. But you can
see why he did
it.
It's not
a very aggressive play. It's a split second play. Runner's right there. I mean, you can't fault that. He's playing the game the way the game's supposed to be played. That's hard, aggressive, trying to get the out for a guy that's pitched his butt off the entire game. And you know, you have Asuna coming in, and it's one of those things where it's. So what? It's you know, it's one of those plays. The guy pitching against you is pitching just as good as your starting guy, and you're trying to get the out the best way you know how to get it. And just that time, it didn't work out. Next time, maybe Josh Donaldson will go to first base, and we won't have this conversation. But I like the aggressiveness. I think you know everything that Josh Donaldson does impresses me. Mm-hmm. The way he walks on the field, the way he acts. As aggressive as he is in the dugout, in the clubhouse, you talk to guys that play with him, they say he's just the greatest teammate in the world. And, you know, on a team that has a lot of question marks in their clubhouse last year, I don't think those question marks are anymore.
No, and we should point out, by the way, Cole Calhoun, who was at the plate, he had a home run for the Angels yesterday. Cole Calhoun's We don't talk about him when we talk about Mike Trout, Albert Pujols, and Eric Ibar, obviously. But I know Shai Davidi was sitting beside me at the game, and Calhoun came up the plate before the home run. He goes, God, I really like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Really like the way he plays. He's a good-looking hitter, isn't he?
He has an approach to the plate. He knows what he can hit. I'll say this. Aaron Sanchez throws the ball down. Jeff, a guy that used to try to hit balls like this. I was a guy that came off the bench and tried to hit the power sinker 98. It's hard to do it when it's around the knees. You get it up. You can drive it like a Ferrari, Jeff. Doesn't matter. Straight as a string. Guys in the big leagues are going to hit that ball out. Sanchez basically made one bad pitch yesterday. That was to Calhoun. It's a learning experience to me. It's saying to Aaron Sanchez, my stuff is so good. If I keep it around the knees, big league hitters have no chance. That's Pujols, that's Trout, that's anybody that walks to the plate. I throw my 97 to 99 with 6-inch sink at the knees. No shot. I get it up. It's elevated. Big league hitters are going to make that adjustment. They're going to hit the ball really, really hard. Yesterday it cost Aaron Sanchez, but we're seeing a guy. I'm not real sure he's the ace yet. Mm-hmm. You know, we're joking around about that, and because it's fun, because, you know, 1 through 5, we don't know who that one guy is. Aaron Sanchez may be taking the bull by the horns and saying, I may be the guy, Gibby. I may be the guy every 5 days you can count on. You know, you got to love the way Pete Walker and Aaron Sanchez have sort of came together and said, this is what we need to work on. We're going to do it hard. Every 4 days, that fifth day, we're going to go out and try to dominate a team. Angels are a really good team. Yesterday, Aaron Sanchez basically, besides one pitch, made them not look like a good team, and that's very impressive to me, and it's only a step in the right direction. And I believe you were saying on your show earlier that you're eating a little bit of crow, saying that, you know, we'd like to see him.
That wasn't crow. That was a Timbit.
Well, I'm going to say crow.
Okay.
And saying that he needs to be in the bullpen. Well, I'm going to say that I was wrong, and he's making great adjustments. He's, you know, the release point, it's nice and easy. His windup is not hard anymore. It's not trying to overthrow. Basically, the only one guy he tried to overthrow was Albert Pujols. You can't really blame him.
Right.
Guy walks the plate, he's got 500 homers. I'm going to try to outthrow him instead of just doing what I'd normally do, is pitch the ball and let the ball move where it wants to move and get guys out that way. Again, it's a learning experience, and I think we're seeing that ace maybe in the making.
You know, I've got to say this in defense of us. I'm going to defend you here, Barker, as well as me. You know, the reason that we thought, as indeed did a lot of people, and I can tell you people in uniform as well, people in John Gibbons' staff, and at times, frankly, John Gibbons himself has intimated this to people. The reason that we thought that Aaron Sanchez would ultimately be a closer for this team, well, it was twofold. One, I think we looked at the team going into spring training and thought, all right, Stroman, Norris, Burley, Dickey, maybe, you know, Estrada. You could put Sanchez in the bullpen. Sorry, Hutchison as well. You could put Sanchez in the bullpen. That makes the team better. It wasn't because we didn't think Aaron Sanchez was never, ever, 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 ever going to be a major league starter. But we thought, you know, considering the fact that there's going to be you're still riding a development curve with Aaron Sanchez, maybe that's the best way of kind of having your cake and eating it too. You got a good starting rotation. You bring Aaron Sanchez in out of the bullpen. You can have a little bit of success. He gets to stay up in the majors and everything's good. But I've got to say that based on what we've seen of him as a starter, and the fact that he's still not to the point, I don't think, Kevin, where you look at him and go, okay, third or fourth time through, these guys can't figure him out. And again, last night, third time through, guys started to hit him a little bit. But you can see now the stuff that he has. The stuff was always good, but you can see the implementation of the changeup. You can see the curve, which is a really crazy good pitch for him. You can see how this guy, third or fourth time through now, he's going to be harder to hit.
Boy, you know why? He's starting to get swing and misses on the breaking ball because he's throwing the sinker at the knees down and away. He throws, trust me, Jeff, a guy that used to try to hit these guys, because I faced a guy late in the game from the seventh inning on coming out of the bullpens. You know, guys coming out of the bullpen throwing 95-plus with a lot of movement. I was the guy that tried to hit that. You keep it at the knees, Aaron Sanchez, you're going to get a lot more swings and misses on bad breaking balls because guys are trying to get the head out, trying to figure out ways to hit that sinker at the knees, and he leaves it there. You can't do it. I will say this about yesterday's game. You know, pitch tracker, you see pitch tracker on the TV. Mm-hmm. That's the worst thing that's ever happened to an umpire. I'm going to say that because umpires, that game yesterday with the pitch tracker was something, because Aaron Sanchez is throwing those balls an inch and a half off the plate. Well, those are strikes because you consistently throw it there. And you saw Russell Martin 8 or 9 times hold it, give him that thing, kind of turn around the umpire and then throw it back. P- pitch tracker to me is a little bit of a thing that they may need to do away with in baseball.
You know, here's the thing. I probably shouldn't say this because
I shouldn't have said that either. But
yeah,
it's
now the
TV
people are pissed off.
They are mad.
Yeah, they're mad. I just got an email from a guy.
Well, it's all right. Would you know it's.
I made the point earlier that I don't need the pitch tracker.
I don't want to see it anymore.
Frankly, I don't want to see it.
You know, I don't either. I don't want to see it anymore. It makes me mad.
45th pitch of the game, the guy missed the strike zone. Yeah, you know. When you get robot umpires, then we can start talking about it. And that'll probably be, 30 years down the road that we have robot umpires. But until
Sorry to bring that up. I just thought I'd mention that Aaron Sanchez. Basically what it is, a guy has earned the right to get that ball inch and a half off the plate, consistently give it to him. That's all I'm saying. And pitch tracker sort of a thing that allows umpires not to give you that pitch, and it's not something you like to see as a true baseball fan and as a guy that's played the game and respects the game and knows that guys earn certain things, and that's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna
and I won't say anymore.
Okay. Feel free to say more.
There you go.
416-870-0590 *591 888-666-0590. Yes, indeed, it is a rare day on Baseball Central. Kevin Barker and myself are going to take your calls because we didn't take calls in the first hour of the Blair Show. Anything you want to talk about the Blue Jays, anything you want to talk baseball related, some newsy items on the Blue Jays before we get to the phone lines. John Gibbons, folks, he doesn't give a rat's ass about what you think about his job status. That's just that came out of his pregame thing. Sorry, but it's true.
Did you ad lib or that?
I kind of ad libbed. I may have misparaphrased him. Larry Walker once accused me of misparaphrasing him. Jose Reyes, he and his cracked rib are going to join the Buffalo Bisons on a rehab option tomorrow. He could return this weekend. I was told categorically he will be in the lineup Monday at the very, 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 very latest. So he will be here.
That's huge news.
He will be here this weekend. And then it gets interesting because Jose Bautista threw again yesterday a little farther. Seemed John Gibbons and the Blue Jays seemed to be painting it as a step forward. It gets interesting because with Interleague Baseball just a couple of weeks away, if Jose Bautista ain't throwing the ball and they got you don't have the DH in the American League or in National League games, they're going to have a couple decisions to make. I had somebody in the organization say, look, if Jose Bautista isn't ready to throw by next month, he said, I may operate on him myself.
Maybe that theory comes back where the second baseman runs out to the right fielder and takes it out of his glove kind of thing.
It could be. Well, he doesn't have to take it out of his glove, but it's
closer. That really fast pitch softball kind of thing.
And Jeff Hoffman will start today, his first start at single A. And everybody in the organization, including Alex Anthopoulos, has gone down there. He will see the start. He's gone down there to scout, but he will see that start. And everybody in the organization will be keeping an eye on the ticker today, or we don't call it the ticker anymore, but keeping an eye on the internet to see how Mr. Jeffrey Hoffman is doing. So that is the newsy items. Again, game three of this four-game series goes tonight. First pitch at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Jerry, Joe, and Michael have the call of the game. Blue Jays Central live with Campbell and Zahn. That'll be in Sportsnet Ontario at 6:30. And then Sportsnet Ontario will have the TV coverage of the game with Martinez, Tabler, and Davis. And then, of course, Mike Wilner takes your calls after the game and the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Speaking of which, there was a discussion on Blue Jays talk last night, Kevin, about consistent offense and inconsistent offense. I don't think there's such a thing in baseball. People are talking about how it's feast or famine for the Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. They score 10 runs and win, or they score 3 runs or less and lose. And you know, Wilner pointed out, and a couple of his listeners actually sent in on Twitter that some guy called up and said, the Blue Jays are awful, all these 3-run games. Well, it turns out that the best teams in the major league, they're all playing roughly the same number of 3-run games as the Blue Jays are, or games where they're getting 3 runs as the Blue Jays are. They're different. The difference is that more often than not, those teams, their starting pitching's limiting the other team to under 2 runs, so 2 runs or under. So again, Wilner was making the point, the issues with this team first and foremost are the pitching. Got to give it a rest, I think, when it comes to the offense. We can talk about that. Let's see what Clifton and Etobicoke wants to say. Clifton, how are you, man?
Hey, Clifton.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Kevin, I hope Jeff told you this, buddy. Your biggest fan is right here.
He is
nice,
your biggest fan.
Clifton.
And Clifton's a good guy to have as your biggest fan.
Awesome.
I could listen to you talk baseball every day of the week, my friend.
Thanks a lot.
Listen, Jeff, you know I like to put my money where my mouth is, right?
Yes, you do.
And I told you a couple weeks back that I think Hutchinson might want to watch this Sanchez kid, because this kid is the real deal. And I'm telling you right now, my friend, I'm predicting, I'm going to put money on this, that this kid is going to throw a no-hitter at some point this year. I know I'm going the way out, but like I'm a brave person, and I like to make money. This kid has the stuff, Jeff, that you know how you could always tell that a guy's going to go out one night and everything just click?
Mm-hmm.
This kid has the makeup for that, and I don't want to see it happen, and I don't make a few dimes. So... You know, that's my style, buddy.
Yeah.
I like to put my money where my mouth is. So, like, when people say, yo, I say, buddy, I put money in it. That's how much I believe in it.
All right, take care. Clifton.
Thanks, Cliff.
Clifton's a guy who became famous in the show. He's always been famous in this show when he called up. And what was it? What was his prediction that who was it? Was Chris Carpenter and Roy Halladay in the NLCS, and everybody was, Roy Halladay. Mm. He calls up and goes, Jeff, buddy, I'm putting some money on Chris Carpenter.
Yeah.
He will be the, yes, that was Travis McKenzie, our producer, pointing out. His phrase was, Jeff, buddy, he will be the last man standing.
Wow.
And there you go. And he was indeed the last man standing. You know, it's funny. Clifton talked about Aaron Sanchez and the no-hitter, and of course we saw what he did last Friday. I remember a conversation I had with Pedro Martinez. And Pedro Martinez said, I will never throw a no-hitter. I looked at him. He just made the statement. It was after a game. I remember the game. He was with the Montreal Expos at Olympic Stadium, and it was post-game interview. We were doing this talking, and he had a real good start. He said, and he had a perfect game blowing up on him in San Diego, 10th inning. He said, you know what? So I just don't think I can throw a perfect game or a no-hitter.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of looked, and I said, well, your stuff is so great. And he said, yeah, but, man, I'm always around the zone.
Yeah.
You know, and when I go away, I usually, as he said, when I go too far out of the zone, I usually hit somebody. And he said, it's one thing to have great stuff, but another thing to have great stuff and constantly be in the zone. He just said, and the other thing he said is, you know what, as much as strikeouts are great, I don't mind having the ball and playing all that. You know, Clifton makes a point. Aaron Sanchez, John Gibbons told me yesterday, he said, I don't know if there's a more uncomfortable at-bat in the majors right now because he throws hard, the ball's got sink, and you never know when it's going to come at your head.
That's why I say pitch counts be real hard this year for him to throw a no-hitter because of pitch counts. Guys, just what you said, it's a very uncomfortable bat. If I ever faced Aaron Sanchez, I would go up taking pitches because of that fact. Yeah. It's a very uncomfortable at bat. You want to see pitches. You don't want to go up and swing a first pitch 98 sinker at the knees down and away. You want to, you know, let him come out and throw you a pitch, maybe leave you a pitch on the plate. That's the only reason you may not see a no-hitter this year. But with the stuff's off the charts. We talk about stuff. Mm-hmm. He can figure out how to go down and away. Greg Zahn talks about it all the time. First pitch down and away. If Aaron Sanchez can throw three pitches and at bat down and away at 96 with some 6-inch sink, we may see the no-hitter. This year, maybe not, just because of pitch counts. Next year, year after, it's a great possibility you may see more than one.
I'll tell you one thing, though. Last night, first pitch or first inning, 11 pitches. I believe, I can't read my writing now. I believe after two innings, he had something like 20 some pitches.
Yeah.
If he has more of those innings, then you're going
to
see.
And the breaking ball. He's starting to throw his breaking ball,
right.
Not for strikes, but he's getting swing and misses because he's throwing that sinker at the knees. That sinker is the biggest key. You heard Buck Martinez yesterday. One guy should know because he's a catcher. You throw that first pitch sinker down and away, that allows you to throw changeups up and away, get swings and misses, and then that back foot breaking ball. It's a great combination.
John in Toronto, you're on Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker.
Hi, guys. I enjoy your show.
Thank you, John.
I know it all starts and ends with pitching, but I want to talk about the offense you brought up, too. And I'll give credit to Greg Zahn because he makes this point all the time, year after year. This organization, for whatever reason, has a terrible time against good pitching. Now, I know everybody does to some extent, but this organization, from J.P. Ricciardi on now, has concentrated on the big inning. And when you're facing a number one or number two starter, you're not going to get 8 or 9 runs. You have to scratch out runs. That doesn't mean you play small ball. It doesn't mean you have Jose Bautista bunting for singles. But you've got to have the other 5 or 6 guys on the team. You've got to have them that they're contact hitters, that they can bring guys home from third with less than 2 outs, that they can advance runners. And this team, that's what you have to do against good pitching. And it just seems to me the last few years, and as I say, Greg Zong keeps making this point, this team just doesn't handle good pitching very well. Your comments?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I'm thinking, I mean, I remember them hitting some good pitchers pretty well.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if it was David Price or James Shields. They gave an awful time to. Might have been Shields. I would need to see the numbers. I don't know if they're any worse against really good pitchers than other teams in baseball. I do know, as I said, that there's a concern in this market about the fact that it's a feast or famine. Score 10 runs and win, score 3 runs or less and you lose. To me, that gets back to your pitching. I got to tell you the truth. I don't have any problem with what this organization is offensively. Now, I am going to say this, and this is just, you know, this is just a maybe, perhaps, possibly. I wonder if the fact that this organization hasn't been able to develop homegrown position players. Now, hear me out in this. Kevin Pillar, certainly. Dalton Pompey, certainly. Ryan Goins. I'm looking at the Blue Jays. They're offensive players. Jose Bautista, they traded for him. He went through a late career rebirth. Edwin traded for him, went through a late career rebirth. Josh Donaldson traded for this year. I mean, Pillar, Goins, Reyes was traded. Pillar, Goins, Pompey, those are kind of the homegrown offensive guys, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe part of the problem is the Blue Jays haven't been able to develop homegrown offensive talent. So people talk about approach and approach and approach. You know what? Sometimes it's hard to have an approach when you're bringing a guy from this organization and that organization and this organization, and this guy is a late bloomer and this guy's underachieved. I just wonder if maybe that's, if there is a quote-unquote issue there, Kevin, if that's part of the issue, the fact that this organization doesn't develop position players enough to the point where you can say there is a Blue Jays way to play baseball. I think there's a Blue Jays way to pitch.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a Blue Jays way to play baseball.
That could be a great thing, but I always, Marquis Grissom, I always go back to this guy. He gave me great advice when I was a player and I played with him. He always said, you battle against 1 and 2 guys. You make all your money off 3, 4, 5. And it makes total sense that great pitching always beats great hitting. Excuse me. Now, with that being said, I think a lot of that has to do with the parks they play in. The Rogers Center, you go to Boston with the small porch in left field. Camden Yards all have small porches. Mm-hmm. You go there with big swings. You look down through the lineup with the Blue Jays, Bautista big swing, and Encarnacion big swing, Valencia big swing, Donaldson on occasion big swing. Approaches may be trying to get the head out, hitting the breaking ball to elevate instead of having good approaches going middle the other way, playing in bigger parks. You see a team like San Francisco that doesn't hit a lot of home runs because their approach is different because of the park they play in. I think a lot of that has to do with a lot of it. But basically it gets down to one thing. Always the one thing you think of in baseball is always good pitching always beats good hitting. It'll never change. It's always been that way. And until you have a great approach at the plate against really, really good pitching. We saw yesterday Santiago would get ahead late or early and put guys away in. That's how you do it in parks that the ball fly in, and it works. Until these guys go to the plate with a better approach, you're going to see a little bit of this up and down. It could be anything. It could. If we knew the answer to this, we could bottle it and maybe sell it to the Blue Jays. Obviously, we don't. We're guessing. But it makes sense that everything we're saying here is parks, great pitching beats great hitting. You know, it's through the organization, getting to the big leagues, that approach. All of these things add up to having an approach to the plate right now on occasion. Blue Jays don't have that great approach.
It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. And, you know, you talk about approaches. I think one of the reasons Josh Donaldson has stood out so much early is because here's a guy with an approach. I can pull a ball like that, drop of a hat. I can pull a ball on demand. But what you see with Josh Donaldson in this ballpark, hitting three home runs the opposite field, or opposite field or center. John makes a great point, and I agree. I mean, we kid around in this show, and I kid around on Twitter about small ball. You know, and anytime anybody drops a bunt, boom, Twitter goes up. Oh, Blair will be upset. I understand there has to be an element of it. I just say philosophically, I don't like sacrifice bunting in the second or third inning. I don't. Mm. Now, if you can bunt for a single, I'm cool with that. If Ryan Goins sees a third baseman playing back, hell yeah. On this turf, bunt all day.
I'll ask you a question before you keep going. If you're
Why
not? If you're facing a really good pitcher, knowing he's not going to give up a lot of runs, he doesn't on a consistent basis. Every day, no, I agree with you. Yeah. Every day you don't do that. Against a number one, a true King Felix.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. That's
all.
When I've got a pitching staff that I think is going to give up five runs, no way in hell I'm sacrificing an out. I don't care how good you are. If I'm facing King Felix, I'm going to have to score with this pitching staff. Now, again, it depends from pitcher to pitcher. Mm-hmm. For example, R.A. Dickey in the mound, no way in hell I'm bunting. I'm going to have to score 1,000 runs to get that sucker a win.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to waste an out in the second or third inning for the possibility of scoring a run.
I will say that most pitchers, and that includes R.A. Dickey, pitches a lot better with the lead. You get a pitcher a lead early in the games. This is all I'm saying. I was never a guy that bunted. I can't count on one hand how many times I bunted in 16 years of my career. So I'm not the guy I can sit here and say bunt all the time. But against certain pitchers, and when you have a pitching staff, I agree with you, have to score a lot of runs. But you get guys consistent early leads, they pitch better. Confidence is there. They walk around the mound better. Opposing hitters are going, uh-oh, this guy's in a groove. He looks different.
I will say this. A couple of people on Twitter brought this up. Last night in the fifth inning, sixth inning, Edwin walks, Russ Martin singles, Danny Valencia's up at the plate. Valencia takes a called third strike. People are wondering, why don't you bunt? You've got Chris Colabello coming up, Kevin Pillar, Tolleson.
Because Valencia hits 600 off of left-handers.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the one point.
But again, I'm not going to get into small ball, long ball, because quite frankly, with this team right now, you take a win anyhow. A quadruple steal. There's no such thing. But a quadruple steal would work for me right now. I'd be happy with that. A four-base bunt would work for me right now. Anything to score runs or anything to keep adding on runs, because I know I'm going to need 1,000 runs.
They score a run without a hit. How about that?
That's easier to do than some people think.
Than a quadruple steal, yeah. That's
Richard in Toronto. You're on baseball. Yeah, the quadruple steal. I might have pulled that one out of my ass. Uh-huh. Richard in Toronto. You're on Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker.
Hi, Jeff. Well, I'm.
Don't forget to say hi to Kevin.
You alluded to earlier, who called into Jays Talk last night and spoke with Wilner.
Yeah.
And made the point that the Blue Jays are feast or famine. There's been 8 games this season where they've scored multiple digits in runs.
Mm-hmm.
There's also been 17 games this season where they've scored 3 runs or less, and
right.
I think they've lost all those games. Now, I just want to set the record
straight. I think they may have
won
2. Okay.
There was definitely a point in that conversation where I acknowledged the fact that the pitching was the main culprit.
Right.
All I was trying to say was the fact that the Blue Jays offense has been so inconsistent has also been a contributing factor to the team's losing record. Now, Wilner has been saying all season long that all the Blue Jays pitching needs is to be just okay, and with their offense, they can be successful. But if they're going to go out and score only 3 runs or less in all those games, then it's not good enough for the pitching to be just okay. Case in point, last night, the Blue Jays scored 2 runs on 4 hits. That means in order for the team to win last night, Aaron Sanchez had to be near flawless. He wasn't. They lost. Point number 2, Sunday in Houston, the Blue Jays scored 2 hits on 2 sack flies while going 0 for 12 with runners in scoring position. That means in order to win, Mark Burley had to be near flawless. He wasn't.
Yeah, but you've picked 2 games out.
Okay, but all
I can share.
Jeff,
you can cherry pick other games.
Two games, you know, Burley and Sanchez were not okay. They were better than okay. They were really good, and they still lost. So all I'm trying to say is, if you're only going to score that many runs,
so what would you do?
An awful lot of pressure,
Richard,
on your pitcher.
Richard, what would you do? How do you make it more consistent?
I don't know.
Okay, we're going to move on. 416-870. I'm not being flip, because I heard the call with Wilner, and Richard does make a point that there is this impression that somehow this is feast or famine. And I guess, Richard, it gets down to how you view baseball. I don't believe there's such a thing as consistency or inconsistency in a sport. And this drives me nuts, Richard. I'm going to say this in advance because I know it probably drives you nuts when Wilner says it. It drives me nuts when I say it. I don't know if there's such a thing as consistency or inconsistency in a sport where if you succeed one out of three times, you're a great player.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. You hit .333, you're great. Probably going to win it, maybe win a batting title. But in order to do that, you had to fail two out of every three times. So I guess that's what I'm getting at, is I think it's the way we value or the way we judge consistency or inconsistency in baseball. To me, you just can't do it. And again, as I said, Richard, I was having fun with Richard when I said, what would you do to address this situation? But Kevin, part of me also, I mean, I'm serious about it. What would you do? You can't turn Jose Bautista into something that he isn't.
Again, it gets back to my point being where they played.
Thanks for the call, Richard.
Richard made a great point.
Yeah,
but again, it's the team he was facing. The Astros are hot, one of the hottest teams in baseball because of their pitching, not because of their hitting. They score runs because they run into home runs on occasion, and they pitch a lot. That's the reason why. But again, it gets back to me, the parks. You go to Houston, small park in left field, big swings don't add up to great approaches at the plate. Come to the Rogers Center, it's kind of the same thing. You go on the road, the Blue Jays are not as good a team hitting as they are at home because their approach is better. They think when they come to the Rogers Center, I put a good swing, I make contact with the fat part of the bat, I have a good chance of getting a hit or hitting a home run. The approaches are better at home. Again, it gets back to good pitching always beats good hitting. There's not a good way to explain it. The only way you can explain it is cut down on swings, don't strike out as much, and have a better approach when you're standing on the on-deck circle. Watch the guy in front of you. The way he's pitching to this guy is probably the way he's going to pitch to you. Take that approach to the plate. More times than not, you're gonna put more balls in play, ultimately get more hits and have more runs.
416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. We'll be back with more of your calls. It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
*591-888-666-0590. It's Baseball Central. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Tom in Waterloo, you're on Baseball Central. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Good morning, Jeff. Kev, been beating up some pitching numbers here all morning. We're 364 at home, and we're 571 on the road. And, you know, I've been scrambling for reasons why, because we got three or four guys that have been around for a while. I guess not like, you know, Sanchez is a kid, but the other guys have been there. Now, is it just the AL East parks? Was it because we're just in the AL East parks? Or you know, what is the reason for this? Usually the Homer Dome, where you think we'd be a little higher. But we're 364 at home.
Well, I'll tell you what I think part of the – and thanks for the call, Tom. I'll tell you what I think part of the thing is, I think they've –
as we saw with Aaron Sanchez last night, I think this pitching staff has figured out, you know, all we have to do is get guys to hit the ball on the ground here, and the ball's just going to die.
Right.
It's not going to go anywhere. It is. John Gibbons made the point before the home opener, and I know Tom, I think Tom called in the next day and we talked about this, but Gibbons made the point that he was asked about the new turf, and he said, look, this could be an equalizer. We all know how the ball flies out of this ballpark. We all know how it's a hitter-friendly park. But this might be the equalizer. You know, maybe this is a way of kind of balancing things out offensively. And maybe that's what has to do with it more than anything else. I also do know, though, that this team does, Buck and Pat alluded to this last night, this team does play differently at home than it does on the road.
They score more runs at home.
There seems to be a more, I don't know if approach is the right word. There seems to be a different approach at home.
Well, yeah,
than on the road.
That's what I said earlier. I've taken batting practice in every one of these parks. Obviously, I didn't play in every one of the games in these parks, but I took batting practice basically at the Rogers Center. If you put a good swing on a pitch and square the ball up, you have a really good chance of going line to line. You can, if you're right-handed, I could hit a ball down the left field line as a home run easy if I square it up and I have power. That's the difference in going on the road. You go to Boston, you have to stay away from right center. You're trying to hit the ball out, you know, obviously to left field. You change your approach. You change your swing. All of these things add up to bad approaches. Come home, you have a better approach because of the reason I just said. It's, you know, it's not rocket science to say that most teams are a better team at home than they are on the road. It's a comfort level. But basically what it gets down to is pitching staffs not making good pitches. You throw balls up in the big leagues, you're going to get hurt. American League East, the ball flies. Basically everybody in the American League East relies on the three-run homer. You leave the ball up and the ball carries in all of these parks, you're seeing what happens. Give up solo home runs, it's fine. You give up the crooked home run, that's how you lose games. You go on losing streaks. So to me, that's the difference. Throw balls down like Aaron Sanchez did yesterday. You keep it around the knees, it's going to be real hard to elevate.
George, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You're on Baseball Central. What's up, George?
Hey, George.
Hey, Jeff and Kevin. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, George.
And basically, I just had two quick comments and then a really quick question about last night's game. First of all, about Aaron Sanchez, I mean, I'm very, very, very encouraged about his performance last night. But, I mean, I think we have to take into consideration that the Angels this year are a very bad hitting team so far, especially
yeah, they
against
are.
Righties.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the next start against Seattle, which is a much more left-handed heavy lineup, mm-hmm. I think that will show us a lot about how he's coming along, because he had the great start in Boston and then he kind of had the terrible one in Houston. So that's all I wanted to say about Sanchez. And just a really quick comment. I usually agree with Kevin about everything, but I just don't understand the whole concept. I mean, I love baseball. The one thing I will never understand is why a certain pitcher should have a certain strike zone different than the other pitcher. Like why a pitcher earns like an inch off the plate when the other pitcher doesn't get that same pitch. I just don't understand how that's fair or part of the game.
Well, and, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, sorry. And then just a really quick question, and then I'll hang up, is last night, I usually agree with Gibby about all the moves he makes, and he put Carrera to lead off the ninth, the mm-hmm. lefty against the righty, which was, I think, a good move. But then I don't understand, why wasn't Justin Smoke going to hit against the righty? I mean, he could have possibly ran into one and tied the game up. Like, why would he not have used Smoke in that situation? And I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I think with Carrera, quite frankly, John Gibbons' first point of emphasis there is get on base.
Right.
Carrera gives you a better opportunity to get on base than Justin Smoke.
Mm-hmm.
As to the second question about strike zone, well, I'll tell you the truth. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that if you didn't do that, you'd have baseball games that would go on for 7.5 hours. I think there's an element of human nature to the home plate umpire that I like. I like the fact, quite frankly, that a guy with a reputation gets a bigger margin for error
than another guy. I think it gets to this argument. If you need everything standardized, it's the same thing with replay. If you need everything to be absolutely 100% certain, then I can see that. I don't. I don't mind that one umpire has a different strike zone than another. I think it makes hitters adapt. Is it fair? Probably not. But it's part of the game. I think it's part of the game that makes the game interesting, that creates a lot of debate. And that's the way I feel about it. You know, people talk about, Wilner talks all the time about robot umpires. I don't want robot umpires. I'm totally fine with human beings making human mistakes. I'm totally fine with human beings having to adjust, in this case, pitchers and hitters having to adjust to the fact that they're being judged by other human beings. I just don't have any problem with it.
I don't either. I like it. I think it gets back to Russell Martin. Russell Martin's getting you that call early in games off the plate, saying basically to an umpire, we're going to establish this right here the entire game. This is where we're going to throw it. I'm going to keep giving it if you keep calling it. And that's what I'm saying. On occasion, umpires call it. On occasion, they don't call it. That's all I'm saying. You want a little bit of, I'm going to keep throwing it here. You call it one time, the next time you don't call it, depends on who's hitting. That's not what we want. That's my point being about the track thing. I don't really want that anymore. I want it to be established as I'm a good pitcher. I can hit my spots consistently more times than not. I'm going to get this guy out a certain way. Just call it. If I don't do it, don't call it. That's what we want. Then you get into pitchers bearing down a little bit more. Hitters understand that this is what he calls. He's going to call this. I have to hit it.
And you know what? If a home plate, all anybody wants is the strike zone in the ninth inning to be the same that it was in the first.
100%.
That's all. If you talk to players, they'll tell you that's what they want. I mean, you know, your first at bat, if you go, whoa, okay, so that's a strike today. As long as that's the case in the ninth inning, then I think most people are happy with it. But again, I think a lot of it is just, it depends on your need to have everything 100% wrapped up in a nice, neat bow. And quite frankly, I don't need that. I don't watch sports for that. I don't watch sports for the certainty. I watch sports for the uncertainty. I watch sports for the stuff that annoys me as much as the stuff that entertains me.
I'll give an example. The Greg Maddux, the Braves, used to win all kinds of games. I don't know if you ever watched their games. They get balls called 8, 9, 10 inches off the plate because they threw the ball in the same spot every time.
Yeah.
That's why they got the call. That's the difference between that team and every other team, because they consistently all the time did that.
Okay, very quickly, we're going to squeeze Andy. And Andy, you've got like a minute here. Go ahead, Andy, please.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys. Just wanted to touch base on a trade that was made last year. We don't talk a lot about it. The Saunders trade. Wouldn't Jay Happ look real good with 3-1 and 2.98 ERA?
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking about that the other day because, look, I admit I wasn't a fan of Jay Happ when he was here. You know, Michael Saunders. Oh, I said at the time I'd rather have Melky Cabrera than Michael Saunders, and quite frankly, I still feel that way.
Yeah. Well, I think it gets back to the park he's playing in, Safeco Field. He's a fly ball pitcher. It's a big park. Those fly balls are not home runs. Here they were home runs. That's the difference to me. I've always liked Jay Happ. I think he's a fastball, aggressive guy. Lefty that throws 96 don't come around every day. So, yes, I agree with you. It would look nice.
I will say this. We'd probably feel differently if Saunders hadn't stepped in that sprinkler head and was still playing.
Well, you know, that's part of baseball. You have to move on, and hopefully he can come back soon.
That was fun. I like that. We'll have to do that again.
That was a good time. Thanks for the calls.
We'll have to do that again. We'll take your calls again. Don't forget, the Jays and Angels, third game of their four-game series tonight at the Rogers Center. Jared Weaver, he's tough in the Jays, folks. Jared Weaver on the mound. Drew Hutchison, let's see if he can follow up on what Aaron Sanchez did last night. Let's see if he's taking some notes from what Aaron Sanchez did last night. For Kevin Barker, and for all of you who called in, as well as all of those of you who listen. I don't know if that makes sense. For everybody, I'm Jeff Blair saying thanks for listening to us on Baseball Central. Jeff Blair Show's back tomorrow, 9 to 11, and Baseball Central's back from 11 to 12 as well. Have a great day, everybody.